email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, joined in studio by a woman who has just become a children's author at the age of 68. But she was never formally learned to read or write. Are you 68? No.
No, past 68.
Yeah, are you? There you go.
But we can say she's 68.
Well, I'll pretend I'm young. That's nice.
Says it here. I won't ask your age, Chrissy, then.
No. Oh, I'm going on for my 80s.
Are you? Going on for your 80s. Does that mean you're 79? Or
Well, it says 94 to 6.
She's 2 dates of birth.
Yeah. Does she?
Oh, yeah, I get mixed up. I don't know how I get away with it. I don't be thinking, you see. And the food.
I'm glad that was a mistake, because this is very interesting.
My father had 2 dates of birth.
Did he?
Yeah, so even the children's birth certificates, sometimes you can't find them because you forget what church they were.
Yes, yeah.
And you forget the register. Somebody's never used to register half of them.
There was two that was never registered.
Yeah. So we've taken about more than 10 years off your age there.
Yeah, you're making thanks very much. That's what I'll say.
Say that to the man on the way out, yeah. Anyway, you're a certain age. Your name is Chrissy Donoghue Ward. Yeah. You're here with your daughter, Elizabeth. And together you've written this book, The Fairy Queen.
She
wrote
it. Yeah. But couldn't have done it without your help.
No, she had this book written. She told us this story when we were small.
Yeah.
So what happened when she taught herself to read and write looking at us doing her homework.
Well, right.
So she would
have... Baby writing. Yeah.
So she'd write it down. So then we would go in and correct grammar and spellings and that kind of thing.
Correct the words.
Just kind of make it more readable. But
so, Chrissy, what age were you then when you eventually learned to read and write in some shape or form?
Well, I can't say I can read and write. I watch RTE, but by the time of one, no, Tina G. And by the time I watch, I love Tina G. But by the time I watch it, I miss so many words.
You're trying to read the subtitles.
Trying to read one and another word is gone. So, no, it's it's a little story I wrote for the children. And I thought they would benefit from it.
Yeah.
And if you open the page there and have a little look at it, it's lovely colour.
No, I've read it. It's beautiful, illustrated by Monica Mitcoot.
And the colour is beautiful, and the wildlife is beautiful, and so well.
And there's a great tradition of storytelling in the traveller community.
Oh, there is, yes. My people used to say, my great granny, she was a storyteller. So.
Now, do you see the cap of that thing? Just put that you're fidgeting away there. That's understandable. So your great grandma was a great storyteller.
Yes. So it's passed down since God knows when, anyhow. So those stories be told around the fire, but not specifically that. We'll talk about fairies and we'll talk about all types of things, singing and music and everything else. So it was me taught. Well, the children came back one day and they weren't learning anything about their own life in school. So I said, I'd love to put books together for the travelling children and for settled children. Why not? So that was the first. That's the first one now.
Yeah, so it's fulfilling two functions, I see. Firstly, as you say, traveller children don't see themselves in books.
Yes.
It's all settled children.
They read about others.
That's one function. And the other function is to let settled children know about the traditions of the traveling community.
So both sides will benefit from it.
Yes, of course.
Will benefit from it. And it's a great little book. And it's a great book for children. And the children loved it. Now, children loved it when you tell them these stories.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear a sound.
And there's baddies in it. And the baddies in this one are the king and the queen who are after the travelling community for taxes. Do they represent?
Yeah, well, they could represent the corporation, the county council, the government,
guards.
They were the baddies down to
in Europe when you were a child.
In Ireland. Not when I was a child, when my children was children.
Right.
Some of them was not old enough today, but to remember what happened and them was the people that the traveling children was afeard of. They were scared of and frightened of. And the cruelty men.
Yeah.
They were something else.
Who were the cruelty men?
The cruelty men would be people would be watching the children to put them in the homes, take them off.
Yes. Yeah.
So
social services,
Social services, yeah, that was a big fear now.
Yeah.
So I thought them soldiers would represent that. Represent
whoever you think a baddie is.
So they can
take your own representation of it. Yes. I know a lot of people are saying, is it another country and versus Ireland?
Well, you could relate it.
It can be whatever you want it to be.
But you can relate it to the wars in the other country, because these little children's getting blew up now. You know, you could relate it to them children running and hiding and the hungry. So you could relate it to them. You could relate it to the poor children, the homeless children in the street as well. So
anybody who's hard done by.
Yeah, yeah. But it shows at the end of it that it can't last forever, not last forever. So
there's
a light at the end of the tunnel.
Chrissy, talk to me a little bit about your life and what you've witnessed. So your childhood, you were still nomadic, you were still moving around.
We were countryside. When we were small, after my father died, and my father died when he was very young, and we travel around the country
And what did your people do?
Well, my father was, when he was alive, my mother was a talent woman as much as my father. Like, she was a clever, strong woman.
Mm.
But my father used to make wagons and four-wheelers, and he would make tins. He would make stuff for my mother, and my mother needed baskets, and he'd make tambourines.
Right.
Yeah. He'd sell them then.
So he's a craftsman?
Hmm.
He was a multi-talented craftsman.
Bit of everything.
Yes.
My father was a bit of everything.
Yeah.
And my mother was very talented with her hands. And
seamstress?
Strong woman, yes. Yeah.
Did she make clothes? Or?
She would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she's the first woman that ever made a duvet.
There's a claim to fame. There you go. Chrissy Dunhu-Ward's mother's in the Guinness Book of World Records. First woman ever to make a duvet.
Oh, be honest, she was the first.
Yeah.
What was it? Yeah. No, what she do was... Is she
the winter one.
She was very good. She was the first woman, I think, to make a mattress as well.
Right.
And she do embroidery.
Handmade mattress.
Yes. Yeah. And how many children did your parents have? How many siblings?
There was 13 of us.
13
altogether.
Of you. Yeah,
there was 13.
And where were you in that?
Some of them was married and away, the older ones were away.
What number are you in the family?
Oh, God, what number are you? I don't know.
You're in the middle, are you?
Probably around the middle. Somewhere in the middle.
But and how many is in your family, Elizabeth? And how many children?
My mother had
Chrissy?
12, so I'm 8.
Mm. I should have known that 68 was wrong, because when I asked just before we went
to the... Oh, because I look older.
No!
That's a great compliment!
I got younger.
I asked you. Hold on now. I asked you what was the age range, and you said in their 60s.
Yeah.
And in my head I was going, well, Chrissy's 68, and yes, somebody in their 60s.
She's been starting at 8. Research, guys, get your stuff together.
So she would mother make clothes, and she'd make lace, and
yeah.
I think she was the first travelling woman with lace pillows, because she used to do her own.
She's like fancy. Mm.
Yeah, her own lace. Yeah.
Okay, so looking back then on all the changes and your life and the way it's happened, and a lot more people in the traveller community now are living in houses.
Yes.
And things have changed. They've been recognised as an ethnic minority.
Yeah.
But it's still not all sorted, or is it?
What would you say?
What do you think?
There's a lot more to be worked on, if you know what I mean. Because people need extra sites if they want them. People want group housing. There's people want to live with a settled community. And there's a lot of discrimination, yeah.
Yeah, so one size doesn't fit all.
Hmm.
And Elizabeth, you went to school.
Yeah.
To what did you go? Did you get your leaving cert? Or?
I went to school for... I'll start off when I was in primary school,
right.
And the situation was, I loved school,
mm.
But in primary school, when, and it's still going on today, you're taken out of the class, maybe in a mainstream class, like in the middle of a core subject like maths or English, and you're taken out into a room and you're given this extra remedial work or whatever. Right. Now, you could need that or not need that.
And that's because you're from the travel community.
Yeah,
travel community,
so they had funding. Everything is run through funding, and so they had funding for this. So you, I felt I missed out.
Uh-huh. Although you were getting special treatment.
You were getting special treatment, but I just felt I missed out. And I didn't have the same as my peers in the class. I just didn't feel the same. I felt segregated.
Mm.
And I just felt like if I'd been left in that class, and if I needed extra work, do it after school or in PE or something that I didn't like to do.
Mm.
Like I felt like I could have did better with English. I could have did better with maths if I wasn't dragged out of them subjects. And if you're a traveller, you're allowed to be exempt from Irish, which I think is ridiculous, because it prevents then when you're going off to college and places like that.
You need Irish,
it's already disarming travellers.
Yes, yeah.
It's like they almost expect us not.
She have the cant, haven't you?
I know.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't count
level education,
outside
Chrissy,
the community, mommy.
Yeah. Mm.
And so you're already disarmed.
Yes,
unfortunately, the can't get us into
the
college.
The can't.
No,
yeah.
Unless there's a professor there that happens to be a traveller and he can test us on. But I just think that the education system is not, I think they're trying to be inclusive, but it being inclusive makes it, you make you feel more segregated.
Yeah.
And I just think if they give every child, whether you're a traveller, settled, green, Mac, blue or white,
I can
the
understand
same
that
level.
Because even the fact that you were being pulled out of the class, immediately you know that you're being treated a certain way and your classmates know that you're, and that's not healthy.
And that's, yeah.
Well, I wrote a poem about that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you could say it there.
Right.
Yeah, I should have rang it along. I was in school.
Yes.
I was in primary school one day, and it was a really good school. And I didn't talk in the class. I was very shy, sat at the back of the class. Most travellers sat at the back, and we were allowed to sit at the back. They didn't expect us to do anything or include ourselves in the class. So one day the teacher decides to teach us about travellers, and I started to fall into my chair, and I was terrified. What is this teacher going to say? And she had said, we're then came from the famine, and we were like a failed part of the Irish. And I was so annoyed and angry, and I pounded on the table.
Right.
And I stood up. I was so upset and I was so annoyed about it. And I said, no, that's not who I am. That's not where I came from. I'm in the Indigenous people of this country. And the teacher was like, the cheek of you. She was happy that I was speaking out, but at the same breath, like the cheek of you to call me out in the middle of the class. And I was sent to the principal's office.
Right.
And I said it to the principal. And so we were all to do projects, and he had said to me, well, why don't you do a project about your community?
You see, something good came out of it. Yes. Yeah.
So I went back and I did a project about the community, and Mummy helped me a little bit. Mm. And I won one thing in my whole life.
Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah. So just that was the one time I spoke out, and it worked in my favour.
Schooling was very hard. It was very hard for the children to take everything in.
Mm.
So the way it was, you would have the bulldozer digging the muck up on top of you. You would have no water, you'd have no electric, you wouldn't have any toilet. You'd have no washing machine. Washing was the hardest in the winter. And if you weren't up to a tee, you got stung as well, you know. And you had to fight for the little you got in life. You had to fight, and things went on in the school. Like, I'd be down in the school, giving out in the school, saying, why is this happening, or why is that happening, or what's wrong, or what's the difference in school? It's just like, you know, it's the same if, the same, now, well, things are improving, yes, things are improving. I will say that now, things are definitely improving, the travellers.
There's a bit of way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing was, you see, they watched all this carry on. The children's watched all this carry on. Sure, I was took away by the police over not letting the bulldozer in over firing the stones at them. Because every morning they had holes 8 foot deep, and she was nearly drowned in one of the holes one morning, only for another little boy pulled her out of it. So we decided anyhow that, I said to the women, come on, we get together and put him out of it. But I was brought down to the police station. Now, the children got very angry. The family got very angry and were denied. So they lit a fire out in the middle of the main road.
Right.
I said, another night I went to the... Yeah, they had to let me out then, you see. But then I went to court over it.
Yeah.
And every time they asked me, did I want to do something to put me in breach of the peace on a fine, you know. Then another...
You were a nuisance.
Yeah, I was
a nuisance. Yeah.
And then we went to a pub another night. Me and my husband, God be good to him.
Yeah.
And we went to the pub one night and we were tired. We were at ours organising a march down the town, my sister Nan and Thomas McCann and that. Yes. And we were so tired and exhausted, we thought we'd go in for a drink. We were not drinkers. My husband was never a drinker. Yeah. I was never a drinker. But we thought we'd go and go in. So they turned around and told us when we went in that the poor boy felt so bad behind the counter, and he said, he turned around and he said, Mrs. is very sorry. He said, it's very sorry. He said, sorry for what is it? He said, I'm told not to serve you.
Yeah.
And I knew he felt in a bad state. But I wasn't going so easy, so I had to make me pint, and I still wouldn't go. And I was dragged out of that, dragged out of there by the police. I was took to the police station. I had, they took me height and me photographs, and I did.
And your age.
Yeah, and I did nothing.
One of her ages.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, here's the thing, Chrissy. It's important that people like you do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because without that, change doesn't happen. And you see that change is happening.
Yeah,
it's slow.
It is happening.
It could
be
quicker, but it is happening. And the fact that you have a book now, you know, that would have been unheard of.
Yes.
Even 10 years ago.
Yes,
wouldn't
it would. For, yes, exactly.
Well, her aunt has a book and her grandaunt has a book as well. So it's actually
That's a life story.
But
this
book
is her. When
you're
my,
argumentative as well. You didn't make it off a stone.
My mother, when my father had passed, she was worried she was going to die really, really, really soon. So the one thing that she wanted to leave the children of Ireland was a piece of history. And this was her bucket list.
The Fairy Queen, Chrissy Donoghue Ward, illustrated by Monica Midcoat. Lovely meeting you, Chrissy. Elizabeth, thanks for coming in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.